to the All About Setwork podcast. In this podcast, we talk about all things setwork. That can include training tips, a behind-the-scenes look at what your instructor or trial official is going through, and much more. In this episode, I wanted to talk about how we may be able to better take in information. So before we start diving into the episode itself, let me just do a very quick introduction of myself. My name is Diana Santos. I'm the owner and lead instructor of Setwork University. This is an online dog training platform where we provide online courses, seminars, webinars, and ebooks that are all centered around set work. So regardless of where you are in your sniffing journey, you're just getting started, you're looking to develop some more advanced skills, you're interested in trialing, or maybe you're even competing at the upper levels, we likely have a training solution for you. So now that you know a little bit more about me, let's dive into the episode itself. This episode is one that I've been trying to figure out how to talk about for a while. And I'm going to apologize in advance if it comes across as rambly. I'm trying to talk about a concept I think is very important, but finding the words to describe my feeling on it and how I'm suggesting people tackle this, it just hasn't been coming to me as easily as some of the other topics. So those apologies in advance. But basically, what I wanted to talk about is during this really wonderful time that we have in setwork, right now, there are so many different ways for us to learn about how to tackle this really great activity, right? Having things online has really exploded the opportunity for people to have access to very experienced, talented people that we would not be able to have access to otherwise. There's lots of different in-person opportunities as well. There's so many different competition organizations that have started up that also, because they all have their own different rules and focuses, they offer their own classes that we could potentially enter into. That also causes different changes to occur. People have been trying other different types of scent sports. It may not just be about scent work, our traditional Burt, Janus, or Clove here in the United States, but you have other organizations like NASDA, as an example. We've had Barn Hunt before that. It goes on and on. All of this is great. It's all good stuff. And for those of us who were involved closer to when all this began, and there are people who were there right at the beginning, there's been a huge change as far as how people are viewing the activity and the choices that people are making as far as training is concerned, or what path they decide to take. Scent work for enrichment, scent work for building a deeper relationship with their dog, scent work for competition, and then it can be also a combination of all three, right? This is all good things. This is fantastic, honestly and truly. Wonderful stuff. Where there are some issues is because there is so much information available now, what I'm seeing in the community is that there is a struggle where people are trying to figure out what to do with it or how best to take it in, if that makes sense. So I'm going to try to break this down as far as myself, what I do as a consumer of information for myself, my own dog, and then also what I do with my program, how I'm going to incorporate things into my program. And then also as an instructor, as someone who provides information and what my hope and goal is when people are taking that information in. So as a consumer, when I buy a webinar, I buy a book, I listen to a podcast, I read a blog, I watch a video, I attend a workshop, I attend a class, whatever. Throughout my entire career, this has been what I've done. I am going into this experience looking for what can I learn, what can be beneficial to me, where my journey is now, and where right now in this moment I would like to go. Where are the perspectives that I don't have, and how can that be helpful for me? What would be helpful for my dog with how I train? And how can I customize and modify any of this so that it works best for me? I'm also looking for things that I know aren't going to work for me. Maybe an explanation was said, and it's the organization of the words, or how the topic was organized within itself, whatever, it just didn't land 100% for me. I want to know that. And that's because I have feet in both camps. I'm consumer and also instructor. So I'm looking for those things to say, okay, I know now that didn't land 100% for me. How could I potentially reorganize that if I wanted to explain something, either the same topic or something similar, to avoid that, right? So for me personally, I'm not only looking for the things that I think will work for me and my dog, but as an instructor, what's going to work for me, my dog, and also my clients, but I'm also looking for the things that I don't think will work, or they just don't work as well for me or my clients or my program or whatever. To me, I find value in both. And that doesn't take anything away from the person who's giving the information at all. If anyone has been listening to this podcast for any period of time, I do not promote idolization in any way, shape, or form. At the same point, not really big on demonizing someone. It's just two sides of the same coin. I separate the information from the person because I want to be able to have that effective use of the information. If my opinion, my affinity, or whatever towards the person is too tied up in the information, I may not be getting the most bang for my buck. I may not be able to fully use that information to the fullest amount and potential possible because there's other emotions attached to it, which I just don't find overly helpful. I can completely respect someone as a colleague, as a professional, as someone who's accomplished, who has accolades, who's experienced, yada, yada, yada. I don't agree with anyone 100%, not a soul. It doesn't mean I don't think that they're good. I absolutely think that they're excellent because no one is perfect. And their experience, there's no way that their experience is going to be exactly the kind of experience that I have or that I need. And what I mean by that is their life experience. The way that they explain things, how they do things to the letter with their dogs. There are so many different variables. I have a unique personality, as does everybody else. And everyone is in different parts of their journey. So as a consumer of information, these are the things that I'm looking for. These are the things that I'm doing. And I don't get myself all bent out of shape if I'm going through something. And okay, that's good. And that's good. That's really interesting. Wow, that's awesome. Ugh. But here's this thing that I don't like, I don't agree with, I don't think is overly helpful. Or there's another possibility. I don't have the skill set to do it. Either it doesn't make sense or I literally wouldn't be able to do it. So as an example, if we were talking about take it out of scent work for a second, we'll put it into like agility. And you expect me with this broken, terrible body to run full tilt across an entire course. No, it's not going to happen. So that doesn't mean that that piece of advice is bad. It just literally can't work for me because I physically wouldn't be able to do it. That doesn't mean that I'm just going to throw out everything that that person said. I can compartmentalize and I can look for those kernels of brilliance and I can use those. I'm also not going to take anything hook, line, and sinker because I want to be able to customize for me and my dog as a consumer. That's even more important as an instructor because I want to be able to figure out modifications and customizations I can do for lots of different people and dogs. But it's also unrealistic for me as a consumer to think that every single piece of information is going to be able to 100% fit me, my dog, my personality, and our needs on every single moment of every single day. It's just not, right? There are some generalities, but there's so many different things that affect everything, including scent work. A search that you set up today is going to be entirely different than the search you set up tomorrow because the factors are going to be different. Not even having anything to do with odor or environmental factors, you and your dog are going to be different. I think it's important to really think about how are we taking in information and then what are we doing with it? As an instructor, if I put my instructor hat on, I'm looking for ways that I can bolster my program all the time. I want to be critical about what I'm already teaching my clients, and I want to see how it can improve. To me, my opinion, the best way of doing that is learning from other teachers, is seeing what they're offering. And if they have a way of explaining something that I had never thought of, or maybe I have thought about it, but they put the words together in a certain way. They offered a certain example. This exercise, oh, this is exactly what I've been trying to do, but I just didn't think of doing it that way. Whatever, right? Those are amazing moments of just, oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much. And then my clients benefit from that. That doesn't mean that I'm going to hand over my program to somebody else. I'm going to look for ways that I can improve my program by learning from others and being open-minded to my colleagues. That doesn't mean I'm going to take everything hook, line, and sinker either. So why I wanted to talk about this and why I think it's so important is, as we all very well know, it is very easy for everything to become very tribalistic. And there are so many camps when we're talking about dogs, just generally, and then dog training, there's more, and scent work, there's plenty. I don't think that's overly helpful. I think it's silly at the end of the day. And where this all really came to a crescendo for me for wanting to talk about this is a multitude of things. The big one is I have received no less than 10 emails over the last, I would say, 3 months, which to me is way too many, from people saying, I took something through Scentwork University and I did this as like a covert kind of thing. I'm hiding it from my instructor because I wanted to learn about these things and they're going to be mad, or they're not allowing me to, or I think that they're going to be upset with me. That's ridiculous. And also, I would put my neck out and say that the majority of the colleagues that I work with anyway, that's probably not true. And the reason why this all ties in is that I'm trying to promote people to grow and to learn, but I want them to work with their team. And if you're working with an instructor, they're part of your team. It can be so disheartening. I can't even imagine if I had a client, or if I found it even worse with the grapevine, that a client was kind of like doing that kind of thing, I would be asking, like, where did I go wrong? Like, why do they feel like they have to go hide behind and do that? That's ridiculous. I'm here to help you. And also, it's preposterous to think that anyone, I don't care who it is, myself included, has all the answers, because they don't. It's good to learn from lots of people. But if you're working with an instructor, team with them. Say, hey, I took this webinar. I read this book. I saw this video. I went to this trial and I saw blah, blah, blah. What do you think? How can we incorporate all these things? Work with them. Partner with them, right? That's important. And please, separate the information from the people. And what I mean by that is, if you're taking in a piece of information, and let's say it has 5 main parts to it, and you think that parts 1 through 4 are great, but you don't agree with, or you don't like, or it doesn't suit your training preference, or whatever, part number 5, that doesn't discount parts 1 through 4. Use parts 1 through 4 and then don't bash this person because you didn't like part 5. Does this make sense? Because I'm seeing some discourse in the community that, quite honestly, it makes me so upset. It makes me, it is a combination of emotional responses for me. I get mad because what a waste of energy. Then I get depressed because, like, oh, this is just not what it's supposed to be. And then I get upset again. Because basically people are digging their heels in, getting caught up in who knows what, instead of let's just improve. And let's all be very blunt. There are so many different ways to get to the same end goal. And also, everyone has different goals. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone has different experiences and things that they think are important and are meaningful for them and their own personal dogs. Instructors are the same. Every instructor is going to have different goals that are important to them for their program and for their clients. That's okay. It's not fair to put expectations on others. I am not above this. I think everyone falls into this pitfall at some point. We project, right? But it's something that we should avoid. The anger that I've seen in some posts recently have just, they're so disheartening of, oh, I would never do that training approach ever. Like, okay, don't. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if people are finding success with it and it's not hurting the dogs, then just don't do it. But also, even if you choose not to do something, it's a good thing to learn about it, because maybe, just maybe, that will be a tool that could be helpful in a different situation, maybe with a different dog. Particularly if you're an instructor, you need to have lots of different tools in your toolbox, because you're going to see so many different dogs and people and team combinations. I wish that we could talk about these things more bluntly and without so much emotion. Everyone is going to have preferences. I have my own personal preferences for what I do with my own dog. I have my own training preferences for when I'm an instructor. My goal is to develop as many skills as I possibly can so that I can help as many clients and dogs as possible, recognizing I am never going to be perfect, neither is anyone else. And if there are times when I think that there are deficiencies on my end, for whatever reason, that maybe I don't mesh well with the client's personality, because that can happen. We can both earnestly want to help each other, right? They want to be a good client, I want to be a good instructor, and it's just not working, because that happens. I want to be able to figure out who I can refer them to, right? So that they can get the help. If a dog presents and I'm trying everything in my toolbox, but it's not working, I want to be able to refer them to a colleague who maybe has more tools. Who, even if I have the tools in my toolbox, maybe I can't explain it. Maybe there are just weaknesses that I have as an individual and also as an instructor. Everyone does. No one is perfect. And that's okay. I think it's also okay for handlers to recognize your dogs are not perfect, they are not robots, and neither are you. Should we strive to improve? Sure, I think that's a good thing. Should we be open-minded and learning as many different things as we can? Yes. Can it be problematic if you're trying to do approaches that are almost opposites? So one day you're doing one thing and the other thing you're doing the other. It could be very confusing to you and your dog. Yes, I think that there is absolutely validity to that. That we should be mindful with what we're doing, not just ping-ponging all over the place and throwing everything at the wall and see what sticks. Sit down, think about it, digest it a little bit, and also make the information your own. That's one of the big things that I talk about in my training programs is if I'm providing an exercise to someone, my goal always is that I don't want you to just tackle this and then throw it away. I'm not designing an exercise to be a one-off. The exercises that I put together are supposed to be templates that you can then build off of, adjust, and then use throughout your sniffing journey from now until ever. That's the point. That's what I mean by mindfully training, is really think through, what is this? What am I trying to accomplish? How can I build off of it? What's the value of it, and how and when can I use it forever, right? Even if you only ever do those exercises 4 times in the whole span of time you're doing scent work, but you got a lot bang for your buck for those 4 times you tackled it, that's a win, right? That's good. And that's not the way that I think a lot of people approach it, which I think is, it's just sad. It's a missed opportunity. For me, I'm trying to help my clients basically become little baby trainers, where they could potentially, if they wanted to, potentially do this professionally, get all the expertise, all the learning, blah, blah, blah. But think of it in that way. It's not just show me how to do it and I'll parrot it and then I just go. No, I want you to think about this. What is the goal? What are you trying to achieve? What adjustments are you going to make? Because this factor and that factor and this other factor is in play. It's just a template. And then we want to use all of our insights and understanding and knowledge to make those adjustments. And if we happen to notice that things kind of go off the rails, because they do, because it's real life, what kind of adjustments can I make? And then what are the consequences of those adjustments? Not that it's good or bad. That's not what consequence means. What's the result? How did that adjust where my journey is going to go? What are my reactions to that? Am I now going to have to offer a different type of exercise to follow up on that? Or are we good? Do you see what I'm saying? So for me, information is really helpful. It's good. It's great. We should be taking it in, but we should be thinking about it. We should be analyzing it. And it shouldn't be done in an emotional way. How we put out information matters. But how we take in information matters too. I feel that as an instructor, I have a lot of responsibility. I have a duty to my clients, potential and current. And I try my best to fulfill that. But we also, as consumers of information, have a duty as well. We have to think about the information we're taking in and also what our response is to it. What I'm encouraging is that we not have such an emotional response. Instead, just think about it. What is valuable here? What can I use? And then why is this being proffered? And how can I put this? Instead of trying to identify, well, what camp does this belong in? And therefore, will I listen to it or not? Instead, take in the information and try to think to yourself, what was the purpose of offering this? How can this help me or my dog with where we are now and where we want to go? How could I customize or adjust this to us if it's even necessary? And if there's something about it that I don't like, which is absolutely possible, what is it? Is it actually the information itself, like let's say an exercise or a training suggestion, or is it the way that it was explained? Was it the category that it was under? Because if it's those two things, it's not a good reason to throw something out. Maybe we can separate that stuff and still get the kernel of goodness that's in there. And also give ourselves a break and say, you know what? I just may not like something and that's okay. But instead of throwing it out, maybe just putting it to the side, keeping it for a rainy day to think about later. I know for me, whenever I'm putting something together as an instructor, I'm putting a lot of thought, I'm putting in a lot of effort, and the goal is always to help. It's to help the dogs, it's to help the handlers and the team. That's always my goal. I would sincerely hope that anyone who took in that information understood that was the goal. And I'm not asking that they agree with me 100% of the time and just, oh, she's the bestest thing since sliced bread. No, I want you to be thoughtful and mindful when you're taking it in. But I don't want you to just say, oh, well, you know, she has a couple letters after her name that I don't like, so I'm just not going to I'm just going to discount everything. Like, to me, that's silly. You're missing out, even if it's, okay, so now I have a better understanding of what I don't want to do. Because that's possible too. But at least then you have a better understanding about why, right? All I'm asking is that we be less emotional and more thoughtful with how we're doing all of this. It's not an easy ask at all because we're emotional beings. But again, some of the discourse, again, some of these messages that I've been receiving, this has been bothering me for a bit. And I'm not sure how to explain how I'm feeling. You know, here I am saying, hey, let's not be emotional. But I've been very emotional about this. Because it's a combination of, it's a big ball of mess, basically. And trying to unwind it and have it make sense. I think conversations are good. Conversations are good, but we have to be honest. Everyone is going to have their own preferences. Everyone's going to have their own biases. Everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses. That doesn't make them good or bad. We just have to recognize those things and be mindful about when we're having conversations. If you are working with an instructor, please view that person as your teammate and talk to them before you post on social media or something. Because I know for me personally, I would be so upset if I thought that everything was copacetic between me and my client and then come to find out, not so much. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm right here. Like, you're literally paying me. Just let's work on this. Then if something isn't working with your instructor and you have that conversation, you have a coming to, you know, a agreement that, you know, we're kind of missing each other. We're like ships in the night. That's okay. That doesn't make them bad. That doesn't make you bad. You know, work together to see if you can find another professional that would be able to help you. That's okay too. I think the expectation that everything is going to work out all the time is unfair to everyone involved. It's just not realistic. Just like every pairing of every person with a dog is going to be magic. That's not true either. But overall, I want to encourage people to take in as much information as they can, but to do so mindfully and to go into it with an expectation that the person providing the information is probably doing so in this space of Scentwork from a good place. They are trying to help. They're sharing their experience. They're sharing their expertise. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it 100% of the time. Doesn't mean that you have to take everything hook, line, and sinker. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask questions. But if you feel yourself having an emotional response and you're immediately like, oh, they're terrible. Well, why? Like, it just, you don't agree with it. That's okay. That's fine. So I'm going to wrap up with this to try to help us make a little bit more sense. I had a very privileged experience when I first started interning as a dog trainer. Wasn't even involved in Scentwork yet. Didn't even know what Scentwork was. I got to intern at a training facility that, in my opinion, was basically a school for dog trainers. Even if it wasn't what it was designed to be, that's what it was. As an intern there, I was assigned to be an assistant for several different instructors throughout for their basic manners program and also for other dog sport programs. And the role of the assistant is to, in my view, was obviously you're helping with setup, you're helping with takedown, all this stuff. But the big thing is to be another set of eyes and ears and hands for the instructor, where if they are giving a lesson, if they're doing lecture time, as an example, or they're trying to explain what everyone's going to do now, my role that I perceived as an assistant was to kind of scan the room to look for those people, those clients that were confused. So I could go over and then I can try to, you know, make it so they weren't so confused. So we could still have across 8-10 teams good progress and no one was being lagged behind. Why does this matter? It was a fantastic foundational learning experience for me. Because since I was viewing it in that way of I want to see where something doesn't land, something is confusing, and then I have to be able, as the assistant, to bridge that gap. I have to be able to, okay, the instructor said it this way, I'm going to try to explain it this other way to see if that helps. To me, an immensely powerful learning experience as a little tiny baby trainer. But I could see what worked and where everyone was like, wow, that's an awesome thing for us to do. Or the clients didn't even understand how brilliant the thing was. They just did it. But I could see it as an assistant, like, wow, that was so well put together as far as an explanation, maybe a demo or whatever. And these people who had no experience whatsoever in what they were doing were doing it magically, right? Just magically. Because again, the people that I was assisting under were all very talented. So I'm seeing all these things, right? I'm taking in this information from all of these experienced instructors and trainers, teachers, how they were putting the information together, how are they organizing it, how were they saying it, what demos were they doing, what steps were they highlighting, which ones they may have skipped over. Like if we were to write this out in a book that everyone wants, but again, they read the room and they said, you know what, I know that there's steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But for this group, we're going to do step 1, 2, then we're going to go to 4, then we're going to do 6. And they did fine. Whereas other groups, they're like, we're going to do this step by step by step by step. And there were other groups we did step 1 to 6. It was amazing to see. And because I was working with all these different instructors, I got to see all their different approaches. And I got to see what their individual strengths were and their weaknesses. And I had to compensate for that as an assistant because maybe the weakness was they put something together or they used a certain type of phrasing for a certain exercise and that wouldn't line up with one or two clients. So then I would go over and I would try to help it make sense. And then when I started being a lead teacher and I had my own assistant, I could then see it from that perspective as well of, now I need to identify what my strengths are and what my weaknesses are and how can I develop my own curriculum in a way that's organized. We're developing skills that are helpful, all these different things. That experience is what gave the basis for everything that I've done as a professional instructor and trainer in dog training and is the basis of what Setwork University is. I am trying to basically build that kind of framework by having all of these really super experienced colleagues that people can learn from. I am not saying that you should, oh, well, I'm only going to like this person because of this and that. I don't do camps. I just don't. Take in the information, see what you can learn, look for those kernels of goodness, and be mindful and thoughtful when you're taking it in. That's it. That's all it is. It's not an emotional thing. It's just, how can I improve? What can I use here? And there may be times when I'm like, okay, well, I can use one thing. The rest of it, maybe I'm already doing, right? Or I'm doing something that's similar to it. That's okay too. Like, that's great. That's reaffirming. Like, yay, we're both doing the same thing and we're getting the same result. As an instructor, that's really nice, especially for someone who has no self-esteem. So to try to wrap this up, I'm going to challenge everyone to really think about during this really exciting time in Setwork in particular, but really dog training as a whole, but also for Setwork in particular, where there are so many learning opportunities. I'm going to challenge you to think about how you are going about taking in that learning. Are you looking for those kernels of goodness? Are you trying to think through how it can help you and your dog where you are right now, and then where you want to go? Are you thinking of ways that you can modify and adjust it? If you are working with an instructor, are you keeping them in the loop? And are you having discussions with them about what's going to be maybe helpful to incorporate in your weekly practice sessions that you're doing with them, their classes, whatever the case may be? Are you also identifying things that maybe you don't think would fit in with how you train, you don't think would be very helpful with you and your dog, or you also just don't like it, but are you being mindful about that assessment? And then what are you doing with that information? You could really just put it off to the side because maybe it's not going to work with you and your dog right now, but maybe it'll be something that'll be helpful later on. Or maybe you bring in a different dog and it was exactly what that dog needed. Are you divorcing the emotion from the information? And finally, are you divorcing the information from the person who's providing it? Good, bad, or indifferent? Because I think that would be really, really helpful. So I hope this made a little bit of sense. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. And for anyone who works with me, I'll end off with this, I promise. if you're working with me personally. First of all, I want to thank you. I mean this wholeheartedly and honestly and as truthfully as I can say it. It is a privilege to work with every single person who chooses to work with me. I mean that sincerely. I do not take my job lightly at all. I am your teammate. I want to help you and your dog. I am not perfect. I will never claim to be perfect because I'm not. If there are other resources or colleagues that I can refer you to, I think that would be helpful for you and your team. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be referring other stuff to you anyway so that you can continue to grow. If you have any questions, if something isn't making sense, if something doesn't feel right, I don't really feel like we're progressing or whatever else, let me know. Please talk with me. It's not going to hurt my feelings. And if we decide together that there needs to be a different path taken, I'll help you find that path. And that's okay. I would be heartbroken if any of my clients thought they couldn't talk to me. Now, they may be saying, well, you're also very busy. That's okay. Yes, I am absolutely drowning. And I'm trying. That's another thing I'm going to be talking about soon in a different podcast. But I don't want you to feel like you can't reach out. You absolutely can. I'm here to help you. And I put out for anyone who is not working with me specifically, I'm going to go out on a limb that the majority of people who are my colleagues, who are professional instructors and trainers, they're of the same mindset. We want to help you. That's why we're doing this. We're trying to help you and your dogs. But we can only do that if there's that open channel of communication. If there's just a bunch of assumptions, whatever else, it doesn't work out really well. And also remember, we only maybe see you once a week or whenever, you know, it's scheduled for you to see each other. And if a lot of stuff is happening in between them, but you don't tell us, we're not mind readers. We don't know. So keep us in the loop, right? It's okay for you to learn. It's okay for you to grow. It's not bad. You're not going to make anyone mad. But just communicate. And communicate nicely. This is what I'll end on. I know. I'm sorry. But if we could all just take a nice deep breath and think through before we say something, particularly when we're typing it on social media, there is another human being on the other side of that statement. And I will keep this to me personally. I have worked so incredibly hard for 7 years, 8 years, something like that. I don't know. To build Upset Work University. I co-founded Cybers Network. I literally work all of the time. That's not an exaggeration at all. 7 days a week. 12 to 16 hours a day. I work overnight. I'm trying to be better, but I've been putting my own personal health, quality of life, and everything else on the back burner, quite literally, because I'm trying to help. If someone were to be snarky or just downright nasty with the implication that I'm not trying to help, the reaction to me is, why am I bothering? What's the point? Why am I putting in all this effort? And to the point where it is now, like, I am making adjustments because quality of life is really bad and my health is bad and everything else. But what's the point, right? And then I'll get this really nice note out of nowhere where a client is very happy and it's like, fine, I guess I'll do it some more. But what I'm trying to explain is, there are lots of people who are doing a lot of really amazing things in this community of just Scentwork that have started organizations, that have created clubs, that have created training programs, that have offered different learning opportunities. There's so many. I can't even list them all. It takes so much work. It takes so much effort. You can tell they're putting their heart and soul into this stuff. Please, I'm begging you, take a breath before you go off about something and just consider there's another person on the other side of that statement who may have been giving you 99% of themselves. Think of it this way. I view this as though I have a little tiny pilot light inside of my body. And that is the pilot light that keeps me going. My pilot light is just the wick at this point with a tiny, tiny, tiny little flame on it. If someone were to walk by that pilot light, it's just going to go out. There's hardly anything left because I've given so much of myself. There are a lot of people in that same exact position. You can snuff out someone's light if you aren't careful. And that's not okay. So please, 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 if you're listening to this still, you can have absolute disagreements. I'm not saying that you have to agree with everything. I'm not saying you have to like everything. You don't. We can have conversations. Potentially there could even be debates. Be mindful about how you conduct yourselves. And know, again, there's another human being who's trying to help on the other side of that. And at the end of the day, this is scent work. We're having our dogs find stuff. And it's not the stuff that's going to change the world, right? We're not finding, this is not life or death. It's just not. It's literally a game that can bring so much goodness to us and our dogs and our teams, and it can improve our relationship and everything else. Keep the focus there and really revel in all this wonderful information that's available to us. It is a wonderful thing, but the people providing the information may stop doing so if we aren't being responsible with how we're taking it in. And I'm speaking as one of those people who provide that information. I cannot tell you how many times I have gone, I'm just going to retire. Just forget it. I'll sell the business to somebody else and they can do it. Because what's the point? And that shouldn't happen. It really shouldn't. But it's an emotional just toll of like, why am I'm trying to help. I'm not asking you to like everything. I'm not asking you to agree with everything. But please don't make everything so nasty. It's not necessary. So here's the bow. We have so many wonderful learning opportunities. We should be excited about that. Take in as much information as you possibly can. Be mindful about how you take in that information. You don't have to attach the information to the person. I would recommend don't. It's not going to help you either way. Look for the things you think will be helpful. Use those things. Things you think are not going to be helpful, or they're not in line with how you train, or you just frankly don't like it, set it to the side, but give yourself the permission to maybe learn more about it or to potentially even use it at a later date or maybe with a different dog. If there is a piece of information that you don't agree with, again, we can have conversations about it. Just please be mindful that there's another human being on the other side of that piece of information. Nastiness, snarkiness, it just has no place. We don't have time for this. Like, it's just not necessary. And most importantly, just revel in your dogs. I mean, if we're going to spend all this time arguing with each other about all this stuff, and our dog is sitting there like, I like to do some scent work now. Could we maybe go do a search? Like, okay, well, maybe we should put our priorities in different places. So I'm not sure if this was helpful in any way, shape, or form. Again, I've been trying to record this for a while now, and I started and stopped and whatever, but it's important for us to talk about. Maybe it'll just be a way to start the conversation. I'm not sure. I'm not trying to claim that I'm perfect. I am not. I'm not trying to claim that I haven't fallen into pitfalls. I absolutely have. But there needs to be a change in the discourse. And I think there needs to be a change with how we take in information. So I'm hoping that maybe this helped. But in any event, please let me know what you think in the comments. We'll be posting this episode up on our social media, as well as our website. And you'll be like, oh my God, when are there going to be other speakers again? Don't worry, we have other outside speaker interviews scheduled. They will be back on the calendar, I promise. So you won't just have to listen to me ramble on about things. We also want to continue our Spotlight series, so if you have an individual or a business that's giving back to the Sentwer community, please let me know. I want to talk to them because we need some more positivity. But I really want to thank you all for listening, particularly for this very long one. I appreciate it. Please give your puppies a cookie for me. They deserve it, because you're listening to this. And like, ooh, that heart rate got up. Go have some snippy fun with your pups. Thank you so much. Happy training. We look forward to seeing you soon.